The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Well, it's good to have you here. Thank you for being with us. You're our guests. We're very thankful for you. Let's take our Bibles now. Let's study God's Word. We're going to turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 11. That's in the New Testament, one of the Gospels that Jesus has given us, where we learn about His life. John chapter 11, verse 25 is the center text that we're going to be looking at this morning. Today, as we celebrate the resurrection, we're here today not just to look at this as a historical event, as something that happened some time ago, but rather we want to see what I want to share with you is from a story, an event in John chapter 11, where we learn some words where Jesus makes a statement. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." The power of those words is the fact that Jesus actually spoke them before he rose again. And I want to explain to you today that today we're not just looking at the resurrection as just some event that is some time ago, but more so, why does the resurrection make an impact for you today? How does it impact you and me in this moment in 2019 today? Today I want to ask you a question from the very beginning. How has the resurrection impacted you? Has it changed you? Is it something that you just know from your knowledge of your head, or has it really made a difference for you? What I want you to see today is that Jesus actually brings a pointed question to Martha in this particular story, and he asked her the question, and I want to ask you the question from the very beginning. Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe all that I have said?" I want to challenge you that from the very beginning. It's not just enough to know things about God. It's not just enough to know the vocabulary about Christianity. It's not just enough to know that God exists and that Jesus exists and that he was there. There has to be a point in your life for the resurrection to impact you. You have to move from knowledge to faith. You have to move from just simply understanding it to trusting in what he is. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what defines Christianity. It is what gives us the freedom that we sang about this morning. It is the resurrection power that lives in us. It is the reason why we are praising the name. If Jesus was not risen again, then this whole gathering would be in vain. We would just be a religious group that's just like everybody else. But we're here today because there's a resurrected Christ. And for those who place faith in him, that resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead can also live in you and me. Some of you came in this room today and you're here, and you're here with family, you're here with friends, and you may have walked in here feeling like everything is against you. You may have walked in here feeling like all of life is drab and difficult and a struggle. Today I have good news for you. The gospel, the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ can change your life. He can be your resurrection. He can be your life. He can give you purpose, and he can give you meaning. And today, that is my prayer for you, that you will see in this particular story, when Jesus says, "I am the resurrection of life," he wants to be your own resurrection. He wants to be your own life today. And that is my hope and my prayer for you. Some of you that are in this room have placed faith in Christ. You have believed in the things that Jesus has said, but you've walked in this room feeling lifeless. You feel that there's no life for you. I want to encourage you today that the same resurrection that rose you again from your spiritual death is the same resurrection power that can give you continual, steady, ongoing life in Christ. Just give yourself an honest assessment this morning. Ask yourself this question: where am I with God? Where are you? And are you willing to hear what God has to say to you today? John chapter 11 is where we're going to be reading at today, and we'll kind of give you a summation of what has happened. In John chapter 10, this is the very end of Jesus' life. In John 11, the very story that we're going to read about is when Jesus raises his friend Lazarus from the dead. And in John chapter 10, Jesus has been in Jerusalem, and he's been walking in the temple, the religious place of gathering for the Jews. And while he was there, Jesus makes a statement that puts him on the hot seat. Understand the climax, the temperature of Jewish feelings towards Jesus was not good. The Pharisees, who were the religious leaders, they were challenged by Jesus because they knew that Jesus was speaking against in regards to what they were holding to and what they were believing. They were holding to law. They felt that people had to be right with God through just obeying the law. And Jesus was saying that the law doesn't save anybody. And in John chapter 10, Jesus makes a statement that really caused the Jews to get riled up. And Jesus said these words, "I and the Father are one." Now, why in the world would those statements rile up the Jews so much? And here's the reason why. It's because when Jesus says, "I and the Father are one," It meant that Jesus was saying, I am God. And to the Jews, those were words that simply caused them to get frustrated because they're saying there is no one other than God. And Jesus' whole point is to say, God is God, but I am also God. They picked up stones and they wanted to kill him. And as a result of that, Jesus and his disciples leave Jerusalem and they go a 2 days journey away across the Jordan River. And while they are there, is where we're going to pick up in the story, Jesus has three friends that were very close to him outside of his disciples that they spent much time together during Jesus' ministry. Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, brothers and sisters. And while Jesus and his disciples were on the cross of Jordan, news was sent to them that Lazarus was sick at the point of death. Now, if you think that there's this close relationship, maybe Martha and Mary are thinking, hey, if we go send word to Jesus that our brother is about to die, we're close, we're good friends, surely he's going to come now and he's going to save him. He's going to heal him before he dies. But that's not the case at all. In fact, Jesus stays exactly where he is 2 additional days once he hears the news. Now, what's the point of this? Jesus is wanting here in the very last miracle of his ministry before he is crucified is to prove that he himself indeed is God. To prove the very things that he just got through saying when he says, I and the Father are one. Look at John 11 verse 4 and I want you to see the purpose. Whether you have a copy of God's word or whether you have it on the phone or whether you just want to listen this morning. This is what the text says. As Jesus is explaining to his disciples, they're wanting to know what in the world is going on. And Jesus says this in verse 4. When Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, what does that mean? When Jesus makes a statement to say this sickness, this illness is not going to lead to death, it's for my glory, Jesus is saying, if I'm going to be glorified, I'm going to prove to you that I am God. Because the only one that deserves glory is God. And if Jesus is getting glory, that means that he himself is proving that he is God. So this story is the evidence, it is the proof to say to us, to Martha, to Mary, to his disciples, that he indeed is God. And he is capable, he is able. He is willing to be able to raise not just this person from death to life, but also give the ability to give spiritually dead men life. And so Jesus is on his, here's the story. And so now as Jesus has heard that he's sick, he waited 2 days. And after him waiting 2 days, in fact, as he gets ready to go, he tells his disciples, hey, by this time, hey, Lazarus is dead. Now understand this. Jesus had been told that Lazarus is sick. He's not been told that he's dead. So how does Jesus know? 2 days journey away that Lazarus is dead. There's only one way that he can know that. He has to be God. And he tells his disciples, let's go there. And so now they're saying, are you kidding me? We just left Judea because Bethany, where Lazarus was just simply 2 miles from Jerusalem. If you remember what happened just the chapter before, Jesus was about to be stoned to death. And so they're saying, why are you wanting to go back there? Because if you go back there, they're just going to kill you. And Jesus says, hey, look, the hour is now, the day is day, let's go. What Jesus is basically saying is, look, when my time has come for God to take my life, it's going to happen. So now Jesus is heading there, and he's going to Bethany, he's going to go to his friend's house, and when he gets there, he is confronted by Martha. She hears that Jesus is on the outset, and he's coming, and so here's a sister. Here's the expression. Here's the climax. She has sent word some days ahead that you should be here. And so she's going out basically saying, why did you not come sooner? Why weren't you here? My brother is dead. Some of you are in that very situation. You're wondering why in the world has God not rescued your situation before it has happened? Why are you at God? What is going on, God? I've pleaded for you to come and to rescue this situation. It's exactly what Martha was thinking. Remember, could Jesus have healed him even those miles away? He could have. He's God. All he has to do is speak the word. He could spoke it from those 2 days journey away and to be able to say, Lazarus, I want you to be healed. And it would have happened. But understand, it was the epitome of death is what Jesus is wanting to prove, the greater glory. And oftentimes, if we don't get in those very difficult spots, it's hard for us to actually see what God is going to do. When we get in those difficult spots, we're crying out to him. And when God rescues us, it then proves to us that Jesus is able to save us from the desperate and most difficult situations. That's exactly what Jesus was doing here. And this is where we pick up in the story. John chapter 11. We're going to pick it up in verse 17 when Jesus is walking in the story. We want to hear what Jesus is saying to Martha and making that very powerful claim to Martha in regards to her disbelief, her discouragement in regards to her brother's death. Let's pick it up in verse 17. When Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Now understand, why is it that the gospel writer tells us that it's been 4 days since Lazarus has already been in the grave? Understand, there was actually a Jewish belief system that said that once a person was in the grave, that they thought the soul would actually linger about 3 days around, thinking that that soul could potentially go back into the body and rise again. Now, Jesus was actually potentially waiting longer to be able to debunk that even possible truth. And so the fact that he was waiting for 4 days was actually to prove the point that according to their belief system, there was no way possible for Lazarus to be able to rise again. Lazarus was beyond the point. Rigor mortis was already set and his body was decaying. It was against the whole Jewish belief system. It was impossible for Lazarus to be able, from the Jewish mindset, for him to rise again. That's why Martha is saying, "But Jesus, he's been dead 4 days. It's not possible for him to come to life." Some of you in your own life systems are looking at your own situation right now, and your life is a mess, your life is a struggle, and you may be thinking the very same thing about God, that God can't do anything in your life. You're saying, "It's impossible. You've sinned too much, you've done too much, you're too far away." This story is to prove to you that no one is too far gone to be away from God for God to intervene in your life. So wherever you are in your situation, whether it's been an addiction or whether it's been a sin secret, whatever it is, I want you to hear today that if you are the Lazarus in this story, the good news is this: God can rescue you. Many of us in this room have been rescued, and we're only here by God's grace. He has set us free. He has brought us out of that destitute, desperate situation. And here we see the desperate situation, the pleading by Martha to Jesus. "Jesus, if you'd just been here sooner." How many of us have said those very things? "God, if you'd have gotten here yesterday, this wouldn't have happened. God, if you'd just been in that situation, this wouldn't have occurred." But Jesus is saying to them, to Martha, "I am the resurrection." I want you to understand what Jesus is saying to her. She believes in the resurrection. She says, "I believe that he's going to rise in the last day." If you understand, there was two groups of Jewish beliefs, and there were Pharisees and Sadducees. And the Pharisees believed that there was going to be a resurrection at the end of time. So she's believing that he's going to rise again at the very end of the day. That means that she believed that Lazarus has placed faith in Christ at some point. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus, understand Jesus' statement. If you look at the text again, right there in verse 25, notice what Jesus doesn't say, and notice what Jesus does say. Jesus doesn't say, "I can be the resurrection." Jesus doesn't say, "I can raise people to life." Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Do you understand the difference between that? The difference is this. If Jesus says, "I can raise him up," that means it's just one thing that he does. But when Jesus makes a statement, he says, "I am the resurrection," he is saying it is at the essence and the core of his being. Resurrection is not just something that he can do. Get this, the resurrection is who he is. It is His power. It is His ability. It is His livelihood. It is His character. It is His nature. It is in His being to be the one that raises dead things to life. Get this. If something has to be resurrected, it means the thing or the person is dead. And so for something to be resurrected means you're bringing something from death to life. Lazarus didn't need just a resuscitation. Lazarus didn't need just a little breath and a pump of air. He needed life. He was gone. And what we need to realize is here in this situation that in Lazarus is in a bad spot. He is in the tomb. It's sealed. There's no way possible for him to come out. Grave clothes have been placed upon him. Spices have been put upon him. And Jesus is saying to Martha, "Oh, Martha, would you just believe I am the resurrection? I am able. I am able." You understand that what Jesus is saying here to her is that she needs to understand that when Lazarus has passed on, Jesus makes a statement here in verse 25. The first phrase that Jesus says is referencing Lazarus, and the next phrase is referencing Martha. Let me help you to understand. Look at the text again there in verse 25. Jesus says, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he," what? "Live." Jesus is saying to Martha, look, if you believe in me, those who die are living. What Jesus is saying to Martha is in reference to Lazarus. At some point in Lazarus' life, he has believed in me, Martha. So even though he's physically dead, he's very much alive. This is the point that Jesus is making. I'm the resurrection and the life. So get this, believer. When we take our last breath, for those of us who believe in Christ, who place faith in Christ and obey Christ, Jesus is saying, when we pass on from this life, death is not the end. We become very much alive because of Christ. For listen to this. If Jesus is not able to be the resurrection, that means that we would be dead in our sins, in our transgressions, in the grave, in the tomb, sealed forever. But Jesus is saying, no, but if you believe in me, when you die, you can live. How is that possible? Because Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection. What he meant to this is this. Lazarus had experienced the resurrection of Christ already. We all need resurrection. Before we place faith in Christ, we are dead men and women walking. And Lazarus and Martha and Mary had been around Jesus' life, and at some point, Lazarus has believed. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Look down in the text just a little bit longer. Look at verse 38 and notice the encounter. Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around that they may believe that you sent me." When he said these words, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Get the scene. Lazarus is bound. All he has room to do is shuffle. But when Jesus calls your name, you're coming. Lazarus, here is now faith in sight. Now I want you to understand this. If Lazarus had not placed faith in Christ before he died, this story would not be possible. And here's the reason why. Because Matthew 25, Jesus tells us, the end of the gospel and the end of that chapter, Matthew 25, that there's two eternities. For those who believe in Christ, who place faith in him, our soul immediately goes to God and we have eternal life. If we don't believe in him, when we die, we have eternal punishment in hell. For you see, if Lazarus had not believed and his soul had been in hell and Jesus would have called him back to life, that meant Lazarus would have had another chance. Unfortunately, that when we die, that is it. Our souls are sealed for all eternity. So when Lazarus is brought back to life, it's not that he gets to have another chance. He's already been with the Father. So when Jesus calls him back to life, he's just coming back to physical life. He's already been living. Almost wondering if Lazarus came out and says, "Do I have to?" But Jesus has raised him from the grave. And this is what Jesus has proven to Martha. This is the point. This is the last miracle before Jesus is crucified. And listen, the story is more about raising a dead man to life. The story proves this. If Jesus is able to raise a physical man who's been in the tomb 4 days, his body is decaying. If Jesus can raise a physical dead man, then Jesus is more than able to raise us up spiritually from our own death in our sin. He's capable. He's able. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus proving to Lazarus and proving to Mary that this is indeed the case. Look back at your text there in John 11. Go back down to verse 26. Now, after Jesus says to them, "Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live," then Jesus then turns the page and turns the point to Martha and says, "And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never what?" Now understand, the first statement is for Lazarus. If you believe in me and you die, you're going to live. And then Jesus says, but if you're living and you believe me, you're never going to die. Now that doesn't mean physical death. I can tell you, 100% statistics that every one of us in this room is going to die. I've preached enough funerals to prove that point. We don't have any 2,000-year-old person walking this earth. We're all going to die. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying the point is this, that if we're alive right now and we believe in him, we will not die. We will have a physical death. But spiritually speaking, the Bible talks about a second death. For those who do not believe in Christ, for those who do not believe who he is, for those who do not repent of their sin, there is a second death that is coming for you. That second death is not one where you just lay in the grave and that you are set there for all eternity. Jesus talks about, the apostles talk about, the Bible talks about that when we die, if we do not have Christ, we will face a second death. And that second death is referred to the eternal separation from God in hell. Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, when you live, you believe in me and then you die, you're not going to face that second death. Praise be to God for those of us in this room who have placed faith in Christ. The good news is we will miss that second death. And we pass from this life, we will have life. So hear the warning. Flip that story of what it says. Jesus says, if you are living and you don't believe in me, you will indeed die. Spiritually, hell is not a place of life. Hell is a place of punishment and torment and separation from a gracious, almighty God. The call to you today on this resurrection day is to ask yourself that question. Where are you? You say, well, I'm living just fine. Your heart is beating. You're breathing in oxygen. But are you alive spiritually? For you understand this, that all of us need the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our life. For you see, God sent Jesus to raise us from death to life. For you see, before we come in Christ, we are actually spiritually dead men walking. Let me prove this point to you. Keep your finger there in the Gospel of John and look back to John chapter 5. Jesus makes a statement in regards to what God does and why he came. God sent Jesus so that he could bring us from death to life. Many of us don't even realize it. I didn't realize it before I placed faith in Christ, that I was just a spiritual dead man walking around. Oh yeah, I was walking just fine. I was a kid playing sports and I was doing all the things that everybody else did. I didn't realize it inside that I was actually spiritually dead. Now what does that mean? All of us have physical bodies. You don't believe me? Pinch yourself. You are a physical body. But all of us also have souls. We have an eternal being within us. and that eternal soul is going to live on forever. When this physical body is laid to rest and you're placed in a tomb, you're placed in a casket or you're cremated, whichever one that you are, your soul is going to live forever. And that soul is going to live either with God or either it's going to live in hell away from God. But here's the thing, our souls, before we place faith in Christ, we are dead to God. Look what Jesus came to do. John 5, let's pick up in verse 21. As the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. Understand what Jesus is saying in verse 21. The Father raises dead men to life. He's not talking about raising people from the grave, people. He's talking about people who are living and breathing. Those of you who are sitting right in front of me right now, and those who are listening by stream, those who have not repented and believed, we are dead men and women, and we need God to raise us to life, to Him. Jesus continues to say in verse 22, the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has, not will, not possibly, has eternal life. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? That when we believe in Him, it's from that very moment that we were rescued. We are resurrected from our spiritual death. And in that moment, Jesus, through God, gives us life right then. Your eternal life does not start when you take your last breath. For me, it started back as a 10-year-old, some 33 years ago when I placed faith in Christ. I was a little boy running around, swimming and playing baseball and doing all the things that little boys do. And it was in that moment of 10 years old at the end of a service, I placed faith in Christ, did not know that I was a dead man walking. But since that time, God raised this boy right here from death to life. And in that moment, eternal life started for me because before that time, as it is for every person before we believe, I was headed for eternal death. My soul was not alive to God, but blessed be God. At 10 years old, 33 years ago, God raised this man up from my spiritual death and gave me life in Christ. And that's what the resurrection is about. You have to be able to understand that Jesus came. Jesus rose again, not just to be a man that gave a historical marker. His resurrection is what's able to make you come from death to life. You see, all the things in this world think that they want to promise to give us happiness and life, and all those things simply fade. How many have bought a new home or a new car or new clothes, and we're all excited about it, but then 2 months later, that newness is no longer. The things that we thought were going to bring life are not life at all. The only thing that's going to give you life is through Christ. So what do we do from this particular point? What do we understand in this particular story? What does it mean for us? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I would like for you to turn there with me because I want you to see that every one of us, we are all in a spot that we are spiritually separated from God, and Christ came as the resurrection to be able to give us the life that we need. Some of you may be sitting here this morning and say, Pastor Byron, I'm good. I've not hurt anybody. I'm a good person. I'm kind to people. I try to treat everyone right. I've not done anything wrong. I've not been guilty. I've not been charged a crime. And all those things are great. But here's what you've just proven. You're just a great moral person. And when we stand before God, it's not going to be a morality scale. We stand before Him and He says, okay, yeah, your good outweighs your bad. If that is your understanding of how it's going to work before God, I'm here to tell you that's not it at all. Your morality scale is not what's going to get you into heaven. In fact, if that's all that you're living for, that's a depressing way to live, because some days you think you're better than others and some days you think that you're worse than others. But praise be to God, when you come to faith in Christ, you realize you're not good at all. It's only because of God's grace that you're actually good. And you rest in His goodness every day. You say, God, I messed up today, but thanks be to God for the Spirit who's in me. He forgives me and His grace is new every morning. And thank God that He helps you live. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us these words, verse 1. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Let me explain what he means there. Every one of us in this room, before we place faith in Christ, are dead in our trespasses and sins. Physically, we're breathing. Physically, we're walking. But spiritually, we're dead to God. And we're following the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of air is Satan. That's who he's referring to. You say, oh no, Pastor, I don't follow Satan. But what we don't realize until we've been awakened to God Almighty, we're actually subtly being deceived and led astray by the prince of the power of the air. And we're actually following the course of his world, even though we may be trying to be moral. Because here's the thing. Satan is good at his job. He's making you actually think that being moral is fine. He's deceiving and leading us straight to hell. But notice this text, what it says. Continue on in verse 3. But among whom all we once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But notice these next two words, verse 4, say them with me. But God. Those are great words. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, here's our resurrection, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Do you hear it? We were all separated. We were all dead in our trespasses. And the only way that you can have that resurrection, according to what Paul says right here in Ephesians chapter 2, it is by God's mercy, it is by God's grace that you can be saved, that you can have your own resurrection. Lazarus had a physical resurrection, but all of us in this room, we need a spiritual resurrection. We need Christ to raise us up from our spiritual death and bring us to life into Christ. So what does this mean for you? Go back to John chapter 11, and I want you to see what Jesus says to Martha. In John chapter 11, after Jesus has explained that he is the resurrection and he is the life, he brings to a point of question for Martha that she has to be able to decide in regards to what Jesus has said. After Jesus said in verse 25 and 26, let's read this, then Jesus gives a question. Jesus says to her, I'm the resurrection, the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha has been with Jesus off and on, and Mary and Lazarus in the 3 years of his ministry. She has been around him. She has heard his teaching. But here's the thing. This is where most of us need to realize. You could sit in a church and you could hear sermons and you can listen to songs. But it comes a point where the question has to be pointed to you. Do you believe it? The resurrection is a historical event. It's true. The eyewitnesses prove it. But you're sitting here this morning and I ask you the exact same question that Jesus asked Martha. Is it more than just here? Do you believe it? Martha had to reach the point of not just acknowledging that there was going to be a resurrection. She needed to not just believe that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead. She needed to believe that Jesus was here for her. Because what does Jesus say in verse 27? Martha said to Jesus, Lord, I believe you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. This is Martha's moment. It is her declaration of faith to be able to say, I do believe that you're the Christ. You understand when you're saying, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, what you're saying. For Jesus to be the Christ, for Jesus to be the Messiah, means that Jesus came into the world to save mankind from their sin. That's what Christ means. He came to be a Savior. So Martha is saying, I believe you're the Christ. I believe you're my Christ. I believe that you're my Messiah. Listen, it's not enough to think that Jesus is good and he came to save people, but do you believe he can save you? Have you had a moment that you can point to, a time that you can say, I have believed, I've repented, and I have trusted Christ, that he is my Christ? Do you believe it? And then she says, I believe you're the Son of God. For you see, she's not just saying, Jesus, I believe you're a religious leader. You're not just a religious teacher. I believe you are none other than God. For you see, it's only God is the one who could be able to raise dead men to life. As a religious teacher, Jesus couldn't do it, but she's saying, I believe you're the Son of God, and I believe you're the Christ. And it's in that moment, faith became hers, and resurrection happened for Martha. Have you had a resurrection by the Lord Almighty? Has God raised you from death to life? children, youth, adults, has the resurrection of Jesus Christ become personal for you? Is it more than just a day on your marker of the calendar where you show up and you do Easter events? Or is there something where it's really radically changed your life? Because here's the reason. Jesus is not able just to raise us up. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the what? Life. For you see this? Jesus is not just able to raise us up from spiritual death to life. Jesus is able to give us life. He's able to sustain life. He's able to give us vibrancy. He's able to give us meaning. He's able to give us purpose. For you see, just one chapter before, in John chapter 10, Jesus says in John 10:10, this thief, Satan, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came to give you life, and I came to give it abundantly. You see, how does this happen? How does Jesus give us life? For you see that when we place faith in Him, there is the Godhead, there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when we place faith in Him and we cry out to Him, it is in that moment that God places the Holy Spirit in us and He gives you life. You're spiritual dead man. You are no longer a dead man. Now that you were separated, now you've been brought close to God because God in Himself, through the Holy Spirit, lives in us. And it's the Spirit of God who gives you life. Let me show it to you. Keep your finger there and turn me to the book of Romans chapter 8. I want you to see the biblical support for this. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. In Paul's letter to the believers at Rome, he clarified and taught in regards to how that we indeed can have life, what the resurrection does mean for us, and how for you it can be life for you. Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit, here it is, of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give what? Life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Believer, if you have had that moment where you've said the same thing that Martha says, I believe in the Christ, I believe you're the Son of God, then the Spirit of God comes to live in. You've been resurrected and life is in you through the Spirit of God. If you're here this morning, you've not trusted in Christ, you've not truly repented, you've not truly believed, and then you have not truly experienced life, I want to say to you today and to encourage you, God wants to give life to you. He wants to raise you from your spiritual death, and He wants to place the Spirit of God in you, and He wants to give you life. Did you hear what Paul said? The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit who lives in you. The Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead can live in you. That is great news, church, that you're not living in your own power. You're not living in your own ability. He lives in you. For you see, there's nothing in this world, nothing in this world that can bring life to you. Nothing. If you're a believer in this room, some of you said, Pastor, I've experienced the resurrection, but I'm not really experiencing life right now. Let me clarify for you. That doesn't mean that the Spirit of God has left you. That means that you're not walking in the Spirit. Because God promises us that He will seal us with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 for those who place faith in Him. When you hear the gospel, believe the gospel, He seals you with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is in you, the same power. So some of you have walked in this room this morning and some of you are listening by streaming and there's been a time in your life where you have placed faith in Christ, but you right now don't feel like that you're walking anywhere forward. You feel like that you are stuck in the mud, you're stuck in the mire, and you don't have life at all. Then today what you need to do is you need to do some soul searching and say, God, what is it in my life that is preventing me from having the life that's in you? Because sin will zap us from that life. For you see, God gives the Spirit of God to us and He gives that life to us because the resurrection power of Jesus never changes, never wanes, never fails. The life that He promises is still in us. It's us who wanders. It's us who are disobedient. It's us who get trapped in sin. It's us who leave the life that God wants. So today may be the day on this resurrection day where you come refresh again and say, God, I need that resurrection power new in me once again. God may breathe life into you again. there's sin in your life, what you need to do, if you know the Spirit of God is in you, then what you need to do is confess it as sin. Call it what it is. The only way that you're going to have life is if you confess that sin and lay it down. It's like shackles holding you back from the life that God wants to give you. It's like having a ball and chain on you, but knowing deep inside that God has given you life, but you're just dragging it with you. And God is wanting you to be free. Because He said He wanted to give you resurrection power. This Easter day, this Easter Sunday is all about what Christ wants to do to set us free. So if you're a believer and you're not walking in freedom, you're not walking in life, I want to hear to tell you that in according to Romans chapter 8, He came to give you life through the Spirit of God that's in you. So today may be a day of renewal for you. But if you are here as an unbeliever and you're hearing this story and you're saying, man, Pastor, I don't know if I've ever truly done what Martha has done. I don't think there's ever been a point for me that I've ever simply said to God to say to those very words, I believe. Today can be your day of belief. Today can be your day of resurrection. Today could be your day when God raises you up from your spiritual death, your spiritual separation from God. And you can cry to Him and say, I believe that You are the resurrection. I believe that You are the life. And I believe You can be my own resurrection. You can be my own life. And so, God, I trust in You. And in that moment, in that simple expression of faith, God can give you life. And He fills you new. So I bring the question right back to you. As it was in John chapter 11. As Jesus said to Martha, do you believe this? If you take your last breath this afternoon, where is your eternity? Can you say for certainty that it's going to be in heaven? You may be able to say for certainty you know that it's going to be in hell. But man, why? Why? God came to set you free. Don't believe the enemy in this very moment to make you think that your life is on an okay course. If you're thinking that your life is being satisfied by your career or your monetary status or the family closeness that you have, those things are temporal. Temporal, but how much better those things can be that when you give your life to Christ and He becomes your own resurrection. Today, I believe that God wants to be able to raise some of you from death to life. He wants to give you life today. He wants to place the Spirit in you. And so the question is for you today, do you believe this? And believer, you know how that you walk in life? You know how the life comes for you? You have to be able to meet with Him. You have to be able to talk with Him. You have to be able to sit with Him. You have to be able to be in the Word. And as you're doing that, that life that He promised every day, you know what happens when you begin to draw closer to God? You begin to understand more about God. You begin to see more about God. You begin to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And that life that He promised becomes a reality for you. And so if you're over here and God wants you to be here, here's where you start today. You just simply begin to start walking closer with God. And little by little, the life that He promised begins to be revelation and begins to be real for you. So this Easter day, two ways that I want to apply this. Number one, believer, are you experiencing the life God has promised? If you're not experiencing, it's not God's fault. It starts with us. Call out to Him. Lay down whatever it is that's preventing you from having the life that He promised. Number two, very simple. If you're here today, and you have never confessed, repented of sin, and believed in Christ, be like Martha and say, I believe, Jesus, You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. And if you truly repent and believe and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says in Romans 10, you can be saved. In just a few moments, our musicians will sing a commitment song and lead us in that song. And there will be people that will be here up front who can pray with you and to guide you. I'll be here. Our youth pastor will be here. Our children's director and his wife will be here. You may say, I don't even know what to pray. I don't even know what to do. But you feel that God is drawing you, then let us help you to lead you to be able to understand. If you're a believer and you know that there's something in your life that is struggling with, that's holding you back, and you need someone to pray with you to help you to overcome that struggle, and you say, God, I want that resurrection power in my life again, then come, let us pray for you. But in this very moment, let's let the resurrection of Jesus become real for us today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth of your word this morning. Thank you for those powerful words that you say that you are the resurrection and the life. Today, Lord, we claim that as believers, that you say to us that you promise to give us life in you. Lord, there are some in this room who have confessed you as Christ, Savior, and God. And you have given them life. Some are experiencing that life. They're walking with you. Then, God, I pray that you just continue to fan the flame of encouragement for them to keep walking with you. But, Father, there are some in this room who can look at their own life and they can say that they know that there was a time that they were just like Martha, that they cried out and said, I believe it. But different things have happened in their life. They've gotten distracted. They've gotten sidebarred on different things. Their focus has been on other things that are temporal other than you. Maybe sin that they're trapped in. Today, God, you are calling them back to you. You're calling them to repentance, to lay those things down so that the life that you promised to the Spirit of Christ can give them life again. God, there may be some here today who are sitting here in this very moment, hearing this story of the power of the resurrection. And the promise that you made to Martha is not that you can be the resurrection, but that you are the resurrection. There's some in this very room who need a resurrection. They're spiritually dead towards you. They're separated from you. They have tried everything in this world. But you, God, are the only one who can set them free. So today, God, I pray that for those who are sitting here who are separated from you and they hear the good news, they hear what it takes, God, I ask that you would open their eyes in this very moment. You would give them faith to believe. You would give them the faith to express trust in you just like Martha did. And so, God, I pray in this moment that you set some people free. You raise dead boys and girls, teenagers, men, women, from death to life through the power of the Spirit of God. So in this moment as we sing, oh God, I pray that there'll be people who respond, who are crying out to you, and based upon your promises, you will set them free. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. I'll be here in the center. Our youth pastor will be over here to my right. Our children's director will be here to our left. If you need to call out to God for your own resurrection, we're here to pray with you. You're a believer, you have struggled, and you feel there's no life right so ever, and you need someone to pray with you. Come. You who may be here and your hearts are heavy with some other reason or issue, you just need someone to pray. Come. Let us pray with you, and let's seek the resurrection power who can help you.